July 1st, 1900. Be ye therefore perfect. Reading for Monday, December 24th. Ellen G. White. The Lord estimates as of supreme value the holiness of His people, and He permits reverses to come upon individuals, upon families, and upon churches, that His people may see their danger and humble their hearts before Him in repentance. He will treat His backslidden ones with tenderness. He will speak pardon to them and clothe them with the garments of Christ's righteousness. He will honor them with His presence. In this, the great day of atonement, it is our duty to confess our sins and acknowledge God's mercy and love in pardoning our transgressions. Let us thank the Lord for the warnings He has given to save us from our perverse ways. Let us witness to His goodness by revealing a change in our lives. If those to whom the Lord has sent reproof, warning them that they are not walking in His way, will repent and with humility and contrition of heart make confession, the Lord will surely receive them again into favor. If they will honor God by obeying His commandments, they will be exalted by Him. He will teach them what constitutes true honor and strength and victory. Those who despise the word of the Lord, who, although they have the oracles of God to reprove wrong and encourage righteousness, continue to walk in their own way, indulging their desire for self-exaltation and leading those who have confidence in them into wrong paths, will, unless utterly forsaken by God, become weary of themselves. God chastens His people with the hope of saving their souls. The defections among God's people are keenly felt by Him who died to ransom them from Satan's power. The church is burdened and saddened. A cloud hangs over her. Let every soul seek God, inquiring, "Lord, is it I who have brought this discouragement upon Thy people? Is it because of my perversity that Zion is burdened? Have I given occasion for our enemies to triumph? If so, Lord, have mercy upon Thy sinful child, and save me for Thy mercy's sake." Let there be a close examination of self. Do not seek to hide yourself under your citizen's dress, saying that you are doing as others do, and therefore you cannot be far out of the way. Yes, you may do as many apostates who live today have done. Some are even now traveling over this ground. But is the picture a pleasant one? If, with the experience of others before us, we walk contrary to the way of the Lord and are punished, whom have we to blame but ourselves? Oh, that a deep realization of the importance of these things may come to the people of God! Oh, that all departure from the narrow path of obedience and holiness may be seen as it is! Oh, that men and women may seek the Lord as they have never done before! A season of great trial is before us. It becomes us now to use all our capabilities and gifts in advancing the work of God. The powers the Lord has given us are to be used to build up, not to discourage and to tear down. Those who are ignorantly deceived are not to remain in this condition. The Lord says to His messengers, "Go to them, and declare unto them what I have said, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear. Thou shalt speak my words unto them," God said to the prophet, "whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house." There are those claiming to be children of God whose course of action the Lord does not justify. Faithful work is to be done in giving reproof as well as in giving encouragement. The cross is not to be shunned. No unchristlike course of action is to be justified. The time is right upon us when persecution will come to those who proclaim the truth. Those who teach the truth, opening the Word of God to others, must surrender self entirely to God. To them, the truth will bring its own reward, filling the soul with joy. Will the people of God now humble their hearts before God, confessing and forsaking their sins, that they may receive the forgiveness and favor of God, and come into complete harmony with Him? It is not because of a lack of evidence that sinners perish, but because of their unwillingness to appropriate the means whereby God designs they shall learn His will. The ignorance of many is voluntary and inexcusable.
The outlook is not flattering. But notwithstanding this, let us not give up our efforts to save those ready to perish, for whose ransom the Prince of Heaven offered up His precious life. When one means fails, try another way. Our efforts must not be dead and lifeless. As long as life is spared, let us work for God. In all ages of the Church, God's appointed messengers have exposed themselves to reproach and persecution for the truth's sake. But wherever God's people may be forced to go, even though, like the beloved disciple, they are banished to desert islands, Christ will know where they are and will strengthen and bless them, filling them with peace and joy. Soon there is to be trouble all over the world. It becomes everyone to seek to know God. We have no time to delay. With earnestness and fervor, the message must be given. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the Son of Man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house, and within my walls, a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. God's love for His church is infinite. His care over His heritage is unceasing. He suffers no affliction to come upon the church, but such as is essential to her purification, her present and eternal good. He will purify His church even as He purified the temple at the beginning and close of His ministry on earth. All that He brings upon the church in test and trial comes that His people may gain deeper piety and more strength to carry the triumphs of the cross to all parts of the world. He has a work for all to do. There must be constant enlargement and progress. The work must extend from city to city, from country to country, and from nation to nation, moving continually onward and upward, established, strengthened, and settled. By their fruits ye shall know them. The inward adorning of a meek and quiet spirit is priceless. In the life of the true Christian, the outward adorning is always in harmony with the inward peace and holiness. Thus, in the righteousness of the members shall the church be established. God's people are to show a faith steadfast and immovable. The Bible is their standard. Rich currents of grace from heaven will produce light in them, which they are to impart to others. In all its power, the truth is to be proclaimed. Those who faithfully do this work, keeping the commandments of God in deed and in truth, will be acknowledged as laborers together with God. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. From the beginning to the end of the history of the church, Christ will be to his people all that these words express, if they will heed the invitation, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Christ is to his people life and strength, efficiency and power, wisdom and holiness. When we realize this as we should, the prayer will go forth from unfeigned lips. "The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. The sinners of Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. He shall dwell on high, his place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty, they shall behold the land that is very far off, the regions beyond. Our world is a field of missionary toil. We are to present before the people the love of God, not only as the motive of effort, but as the model of all our plans. We must work in the way he worked. His example is to be our pattern. The Lord has given men and women capabilities and tact and skill to be used to his name's glory. When sincere, earnest efforts are put forth to win souls to God, we shall see of the salvation of God. Those who claim to be Christians should make an unreserved surrender of all they have to the Lord. Their time, their substance, and their influence are required of them by him who willingly gave himself to save to the uttermost all who come to him. Those who claim to be children of God should throw the whole weight of their influence on the side of Christ, for his sake, practicing self-denial and self-sacrifice. There is need of close communion with God and entire conformity to his will. This is the secret of gaining the power that will convict and convert sinners. The church has failed because she has not come up to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty influences of the satanic force. Church members have not, as they should, pressed back the powers of darkness. This is the reason of the deficiency in the church today. The quickening power of God is needed. Men and women who love God supremely and their neighbors as themselves are needed. Men and women who crave the power of God, that they may bear witness to the love of Jesus. Church members are to be God's instruments in seeking to save those ready to perish. Be they many or few, they are to confer together, laying before one another their designs and plans, and obtaining the benefit of one another's perception and foresight as to the best plans for securing success in the work. There are to be found no separate parties who shall supply themselves with all the facilities for ensuring success, at the same time leaving those who should have equal encouragement and means with which to carry on the work, with nothing with which to do the work, which means the adding of new territory to the Lord's kingdom. The many fields in the Lord's vineyard which have not been touched call upon the places in which institutions are already established to understand the situation. Let men curtail their ambition to branch out in a field which, by God's appointment, has already been worked. Let there not be, on the part of churches, families, or individuals, any withholding of the means needed to furnish God's servants with facilities for doing the work in regions beyond. Let not those in the fields where the work is established think of the great things they can do and continue to expand self to large proportions, while other portions of the Lord's vineyard are destitute of the advantages by which the work might be properly done. This is a religion of selfishness and is offensive to God. It is a selfish ambition which leads men to call for more facilities in a field already possessing ample facilities, while missionary fields are in need of the advantages which these worked fields have in abundance. The Lord's work in new territories is to be carried forward to a successful accomplishment. In this work, God's plan is to be followed, not the inclinations of those who would gather into the section over which they have supervision every possible advantage to give, as they say, character to the work, while the utter destitution of other parts of the Lord's vineyard is forgotten. Every work will be tested by God. Every thread of selfishness drawn in will be drawn out. After 9 years of struggling, we begin to see some signs of success in this country. But the advancement has been made under the most trying circumstances. In order to advance the work, we have been obliged to borrow thousands of dollars. I tell you in the name of the Lord that this need not have been. If our institutions, our sanitariums and publishing houses, had bound about their desire for more facilities and had shown an unselfish interest in the work so constantly set before them, the cause in foreign fields would certainly have made much more advancement, and marked success would have attended the business of which they were stewards. The selfish desire which some have shown to use all the means to enrich one portion of the Lord's vineyard reveals unfaithful stewardship, and I am charged to make this appeal to God's people.
The great head of the church has given talents to the company of believers. He has given his word to mold the character, and his spirit to bring all things to their remembrance. He desires his people to bring into their work the true principles of missionary effort. Many of the Lord's servants are numbered with those of whom John wrote, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Those who are left to plant the standard in new places are to have a keen, sanctified interest in every plan which is related, directly or indirectly, to the great work of warning the world. Those who have stood in positions of trust, faithful men who have been led and guided by God, are to thank Him for His molding, fashioning power. They are to carry His work onward and upward to perfect accomplishment. They are to move with careful, prayerful consideration, lest they mar the influence of the work by changing the order which the Lord has said should be followed. As they advance, step by step, they are to mind the same things, to advance in the same lines, that the truth may never be dishonored or lose its sacred, holy influence in the sight of the world. As those who took up the work at the beginning of the message have advanced by self-denial and self-sacrifice, God has given them His blessing. They have had much to learn. They have made mistakes. They have needed continual guidance and counsel. But they have had reason for constant gratitude, because the work has gone forward in spite of poverty and a lack of facilities. They strained every nerve to make the work a success, to establish those buildings which were necessary for the proper development of the work, and under all circumstances, the Lord guided them. Those who enter the work later to find things ready to their hand should at least attempt to pay the debt they owe the Lord and the workers who went before them by carrying the truth into new territories until it has gone to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people.
In every country, men and women are to be raised up to carry forward the very work begun by those who have been laid away to rest. The memory of those pioneer workers is to be guarded, and from their treasure of experience, the workers of today are to learn to pass from one line of advanced work to another, following the methods declared by the Holy Spirit to be in the order of God. Asserting the principles enjoined in the Word, carrying the aggressive warfare into new fields. Home and foreign missions are to share equally of God's trust money. In planning for the work, the difficulties to be met in foreign fields are to be considered. Let not those who have every advantage be niggardly in appropriating means for the advancement of the work in mission fields. For Christ's sake, willing support is to be given to the work of the gospel, which is to be carried to all parts of the world. And by the work of the press, the work is to be established and confirmed. Christ should never again be dishonored, and his cause put to shame by a lack of the true missionary spirit. A great mistake has been made. In their selfishness, men have grasped means and advantages for their own field, though knowing the need of help in new fields. They have not supplied that which was necessary for the progress of the work. They have not helped their brethren fight the battle which once had to be fought in the fields they now occupy. The work all over the world is to receive consideration. New fields are to be entered. Let those at the heart of the work remember that much means and much hard labor is required to accomplish the work in new fields. Let them be faithful stewards of the Lord's goods. Let them not feel that they are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, but let them practice true Bible religion, which enjoins self-sacrifice at every step. They are to closely examine the needs of the work, reviewing the needs of all the fields, for they are God's agents set for the extension of the truth in all parts of the world. They are not excusable if they remain in blindness and ignorance regarding the needs of the work. They are to know the advantages and defects of each field, and then, with a true spirit of unselfish interest, they are to work for the accomplishment of the work as a whole. In this work, all the churches which have been established are to act a part, according to their several ability. If difficulties come up in missionary fields, let investigation be made without delay, lest the path of duty be hid or made obscure. As these questions come up before those who are wise in God's wisdom, examination will be united with the exercise of prudence. By using the knowledge God has given them, men will gain a clear, sharp experience. By exercising their God-given ability in helping to plant the standard of truth in new territory, they will receive great blessing. After they have unselfishly tried to gain a right understanding of the situation, they are to approach the mercy seat, asking for clear intuition and an unselfish purpose, that they may see the necessities of far-off fields. As they ask the Lord to help them to advance the work in regions beyond, they will receive grace from on high. Never will they seek the Lord in vain. But when men close the eyes of their understanding, lest they shall see and the sympathies of their hearts be awakened, lest they shall feel and be obliged to act, they become hardened and selfish, unfitted to serve God in any capacity. America was long the field of missionary conflict. God has prospered the work in that country. If those there had cherished the spirit of self-sacrificing missionary effort, fewer unnecessary buildings would have been erected, and the kingdom of Christ would have been extended to many regions. There would have been shown a missionary zeal which has not yet been developed by those whose duty it is to carry the needs of the work on their souls. Much more would have been done to plant the standard in other places besides America. But selfishness, so abhorrent to God,
came in. The work was neglected when there was plenty of means to send missionaries abroad to preach the gospel, raise up churches, and erect meeting houses. If men had worked actively on the Lord's plan, laboring earnestly and unselfishly to impart what God had given them, churches would have been established in many places. The standard would have been planted in new fields. Witness would have been borne to the truth in many more cities. God's memorial of creation, the seventh-day Sabbath, would have been honored. The great head of the church permitted a parable to be enacted in your midst at the last general conference. You were led to expect, from one claiming to be converted, a large donation, pledged to different branches of the work. Apparently, the one who was to have made this donation was as sincere as any man in the conference, but he disappeared, and all came to nothing. Just in this way has God been disappointed in his people, whom he has enriched abundantly with all good things, but who have failed to fulfill his expectations. A straightforward plan is to be followed in dealing with believers in home and foreign fields. An unselfish equality is to be maintained among the working forces. Money is to be provided to support missionaries. An agent should be appointed to investigate the situation in foreign countries and to report. Those in the places where the work has been established should bind about their supposed wants, that the work in foreign fields may go forward. In the institutions which have been established, there will be a desire to grasp more and still more advantages. But the Lord declares that this should not be. The means in his treasury is to be used in building up the work in the places where there are no conveniences. The workers in foreign fields should not be left to beg. The condition of every new mission field should be examined, that there may be equality in the distribution of means. Mrs. E. G. White.